just dive right in and talk about the love of Yahweh right here. I'm Stefaniah Aber. Shalom. We're going to dive in with both feet and love Yahweh. 1 John 5, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are very, very hard to do. It's impossible to keep them. But now it says here, see, I was quoting that wrong. This is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He will enable us by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit of the Heavenly Father, of Yahweh and the Son, Messiah. He will enable us with that Spirit-wrought righteousness to keep His commandments, laws, statutes, His judgments, His precepts and testimonies. Oh yes, how we love Him. Well, if we keep His commandments, it says. Once again, that was 1 John 5, 2, for those of you who are new around the block here. It also says in 1 John 5 what sin is. 1 John chapter 3. Sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, I see. Okay, that's also, that was correct. I was reading 5:17. Sin is the transgression of the law. It says that there also. 1 John 3, 4, 1 John 5, 17. And if we go to Galatians 5, it tells us what bondage is. Bondage is not keeping, but breaking the law. Bondage is sin. And what's sin again? Thank you. The transgression of the law. and it says in Galatians 5, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what would that mean, the yoke of bondage? The Ten Commandments is the yoke of bondage? No. The yoke is breaking those Ten Commandments. Anybody on the street could probably even tell you that, but go into a church these days, into a modern church in the year 2010, and you're going to find out that the law was done away with. Well, there's, praise Yahweh, there's still some good churches. And we proclaim to be Hebraic or Messianic, but I think that the PCA, the Presbyterian Church, the Orthodox people, some of them, and some Baptists, Orthodox Baptists, have us pressed down. You know, they are even growing stronger in Yahweh sometime than some of us who don't preach Yahweh's word. Well, I try to untangle the cord there. Yahweh, not Yahweh. And, wow, we're going to be going to Ezekiel 36:26, talking about the Spirit during the course of this program. What is liberty? If we go to Psalm 119, liberty is Psalm 119:45, or at least it kind of gives you a picture. I will walk at liberty. How does he walk at liberty? Or with liberty? I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Once again, that's the famous 119th Psalm, verse 45. We don't want to read that in any wishy-washy, non-commandment keeping assembly. But we do want to read it around here where there are true believers who really seek Yahweh with all their heart, soul, minds, and strength. Mixing the singular and plural, huh? Okay, hope you didn't catch that. Genesis 26, verse 5, way, way before Moses. 430 years before, or more before Moses. Genesis 26, verse 5, that Abraham obeyed my voice, the Eternal says. He obeyed my voice and kept my charge, kept my commandments, my statutes, which includes his feast days, like the Feast of Tabernacles. So he kept, how could he keep the feast? They weren't even given yet. Moses came later. Come on. Don't try to push this on me, these feast days. Times of bondage when people are out resting and listening to messages and fellowshipping and eating and eating up the word. Yes, Abraham obeyed Yahweh's voice. He kept his charge, which includes everything, of course. Because he loved Yahweh. Kept my commandments, he says, not mine, but Yahweh's, my statutes and my laws. Well, my laws sums it all up. And what was the greatest law? To love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second, and I do mean second in priority, in importance, the second in priority in the greatest commandments was to love our neighbor. But that comes much way down the road, much farther after loving Yahweh with all our heart. Or hearts. All right. Yahweh the Father writes his name and his word in our heart, Jeremiah 31. I think it is 31:31, in fact. I'm not looking at it, but I'm just looking at my notes here. And Yahweh's word contains the Torah, which includes his Sabbath and new moons. So, in other words, inside his word, you'll find the Torah from Genesis to, through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm only giving the common names for those right now, instead of the Hebrew words for them, because there's a lot of people who would not understand. But anyway, that's the Torah, those first five books, the five books of, so-called five books of Moses, or the Law of Moses. Are we under the Law of Moses? Oh, well, yeah, well, that's a different subject, but now that you mention, no, a little bit down the road, okay? Are we subject to the Law of Moses? Are we subject to Yahweh's Law? Well, I certainly hope so. Read Romans 8:7. When filled with the Spirit, we are enabled to keep His Torah. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto those good works, unto those statutes, the same ones that Abraham, where he kept his charge, his commandments. Hosea 8:12, the book of Hosea, in part one of the scriptures. Commonly called the Old Testament, improperly so, because there's old and new in there. Hosea 8, I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. Doesn't that sound like modern Protestantism today, and Catholicism, and Jehovah's Witness, and all of these religions are saying that the Torah is a strange thing. Some of them are not saying that, and praise Yahweh for that. Praise Yahweh for you believers, or for those of you who are at least giving us a chance to say our piece here. Let us just explain this a little bit here. Some teachers are better than others. I'm kind of a garden variety, run-of-the-mill one, but I do have some things, some concepts, some things to say that others do not. I even teach about some commandments that are in the Word that other people ignore, that other messianics and Hebraics ignore. But that's neither here nor there. You can be a greater scholar than any of us, than any preacher out there, by just picking up the Word and reading it and say, Spirit of Yahweh, I just want to know what this says. Then read everything under that particular topic. So the motive for keeping Yahweh's Torah is 1 John 5, verse 2, that we love Him, as well as keeping His feasts, like Abraham did, like Moses did, like Paul did, which was proven, by keeping His dietary laws, tithing, and much more, all for the same reason, love for Yahweh. Proof is in the Word, in Psalm 19. His feasts are good for us, keeping the pagan days is evil. We do not eat unclean animals, not because they may not taste good. In fact, some of them taste pretty tasty there, but not just because they are unhealthy. Some of them might taste good, some of them will kill you almost instantly, but we don't refrain from, and we don't stop from eating unclean animals, not because they may not taste good or they're unhealthy, but because Yahweh calls them an abomination, and He says, I hate every false way. That's found in Psalm 119. The clean animals went in by sevens on the ark, on Noah's ark. The unclean went in by twos. And if you were to have killed one of the pair, the unclean pair, then that type of animal would be wiped out. That's a good thing to remember. And we always need to start at the beginning. So when we bring up a subject, we start at the beginning of it. And we thank Yahweh, the Messiah, Yahweh HaMashiach, who paid the highest, supreme price for our sins by dying on the tree. So many people have been murdered, just for that. for confessing that Yahweh died on the tree? I mean, even the devils fear and tremble. They know that Yahawahusha died on the tree, that Yahweh HaMashiach, or the Messiah, or, you know, some say Jesus, which is a common name, and means the Greek goddess of healing, but even the devils know, no, that's true, we've proved it here, with many, many references, that it was a pagan name, but anyway, that he died for us on the tree. Of course, the devils know that. And then they say the end of the law, but it also says the end of all things is at hand, 1 Peter 4:7. So what are you going to do with that verse? 1 Peter, or 1 Kefa 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. In other words, what that means is the end, the reality that we are almost at the end of time. This period is very, very much soberly impressive upon us. We need to really fly right and stay with Yahawahusha. Oh, and by way of disclaimer, we cannot save our nation by rejuvenating the Republican Party. Why go back 50 years or so and just try to do it all over again? You know, and then we'll be right back to where we are now. So we wouldn't make any progress there. And regarding this website and some of the links that we give on here, some of them may contain other doctrines on the other websites and the links. We can't fully endorse all the websites that we recommend here, but this is the only disclaimer that we provide, that no one knows it all. So please enter at your own risk. Be on guard. You are responsible for what you consume. If I do not link to some other sites, you might miss out on teaching which no one else has. So that's why we do pick up a few other teachings. And now I could reword what someone else on another site said and present it here in my own words, but that would be like plagiarism. So I think no one else can say it as well as this person over there on, say, TNTReveal.com. Well, I'm going to let Hezekiah and TNT, you know, say what he knows. And I'm not going to rob his material. He'd come over and right in the jaw. You know, no, he wouldn't do that to me. But hopefully he wouldn't anyway. I could probably take him, but no. No, I don't think I could. Immersion is not works. Yahweh does the immersion, so don't worry about that word baptism. Now, and the name Yahawahusha, we use Yahawahusha. Simply look in the Hebrew lexicon, Strong's Concordance, or other references for Shua. And if you thought the Messiah's name was Yahushua, Shua means crying out, to peal. And it is a reference to hogs or pigs. Then look up Shah, and the word Yasha, or search for Yahawahusha. It's not actually in Strong's Concordance in that form. But the proper name for the Savior is, as far as we have studied, Yahawahusha. We also recognize that Yahweh HaMashiach means the Father. You know, Yahweh HaMashiach, meaning the Messiah, Mashiach, Yahweh the Messiah. And the names of Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahushua, Jesus, Christ, and titles of Lord and God have been changed in our websites to what we have here. And the reason is found within this website. As I say, no one knows it all. And we have to study for ourselves. But we do know that certain names are wrong. That they are actually, they're not only common, but they're corrupted. They're pagan names, so we're not going to use those corrupted ones. And the Shua and whatever else, the L's. You know, there's not total evidence that L is a corrupt word, but there are many references that say it is. And so by just that many references, we're going to stop right there and not use El or Elohim because of, say, 10 reference books that authenticate that it, Leviticus 18:22. What is an abomination? Leviticus 18:22. It says an abomination is for a man to lie with another man. And is this commandment in Leviticus 18, is that just for Levites only? Well, no, it isn't. The chapter is, in Hebrew is more correctly called Vayikra, but we can use the term Leviticus as long as we're not speaking Spanish. That could be a problem there. 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Defile not yourselves, or ye yourselves. So that was in Leviticus 22:24. And, that verse tells me that that is a common thing for men and in different nations to go out and lie with an animal. It's not just some kind of a marginal thing that very few of us are doing. That's a common thing, young men or whatever, that are just growing up or something. And then it's talked about amongst, when you go out with work parties, they mention that sheep, so on. And it says the land is defiled by that. So we shouldn't even be talking about it out there in the working fields. Therefore, the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitations. You shall therefore keep my statutes. The Heavenly Father is speaking through the Messiah here, or through the Son. The Messiah wasn't yet revealed, but speaking through the Son. Who's that, a Mormon doctrine that he spoke through the Son? No, that's from the book of John, if you research about the fifth chapter and some others, and also 1 Corinthians 10. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So, one of the abominations was with a man lying with another man. So that was a common thing that men did there. I know in Portland they had a club in East Portland where that had been done way back in the, at least in the 1950s in East Portland, Oregon. And then standing before an animal, what was that? Where was the animal? Or was that somewhere else? But oh, there it is. Neither shall a woman stand before a beast to lie down thereof. It is confusion. Don't even think about it, okay? But that was also commonly done. That's an abomination. So if something was an abomination then, and then Messiah died in the tree, would it still be an abomination just because he died in the tree and wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us? The handwriting of, the written handwriting of ordinances that were against us, meaning the death penalty, meaning the offerings for sin. No, those were replaced by Messiah, the offerings for sin and the death penalty, but these different statutes were not. And this is not being taught properly. It's not even being taught at all in most of the assemblies around the world, and so that's why we are doing that here, and we hope that it's encouraging for you to actually hear us read some of the law. Some people will even read it. Talk show host Michael Savage reads on a Jewish Friday night. He'll read from Leviticus, but he does not believe in the authority of Scripture. I do not believe that he does by hearing him, okay? But it says in here that's an abomination. So if we turn also to Leviticus 20, is it an abomination for you to do these things? And for me? Or for a Baptist? Or anyone? Even a Republican to do these things? Or a Democrat? Leviticus 20:25 says, now I can't even remember why I wrote that down here. So much going on. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean. Uh-oh, the clean and unclean animal issue. You shall put difference between the clean and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. Between unclean fowls. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beasts or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy or separated unto me, for I am Yahweh, am separated, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. A man that a woman with a familiar spirit, and so on. You stone him to death. Okay. So you we're not saved by good works, but we're not to have ham and eggs or hog and eggs either, because it's just like homosexuality. It says here in that same book, and it says in many other places as well, that eating the ham and eggs is an abomination. Now, it sounds strange because it says USDA. If you go down to your grocery store, your brand spanking new shining grocery store, maybe headquarters in Salt Lake City, and you know, everybody has a nice uniform on and maybe even a smile, hopefully. And they're standing by the meat counter there, and there's these hot dogs, pork hot dogs. I mean, come on, don't try to tell me that there's something wrong with eating that when it says USDA on there, United States Department of Agriculture. It must be okay if they say it's all right. Well, of course, none of those meats in there are that safe. There are problems with all the meats, but particularly with that type of an animal. It said right here, not only in Leviticus 20:25, but you know, all over through the Word. And you say, well, you can go to Matthew or Mark, Luke, John, somewhere in there. I have the reference somewhere handy, but not that handy. That Messiah purged these things, that is no longer an abomination. Okay, well, then it's no longer an abomination for two men to be together in the wedding bed. I mean, come on. Well, then the argument, I suppose, would be, yes, but there's nowhere in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is, where he said it was okay for two men to lie together, you know, and then the argument would go on from there, or the line of thinking. We say, well, we don't want to argue, you know. But if you go back to Moses, Genesis 7:2, in Genesis 7:2, right, Moses did write that, but you go back to the Noah's Ark, that the clean went on the animals that were clean went on the ark by sevens. I'll get it out. Give me patience here. And the unclean went on by twos. And Peter's vision in the book of Acts was to show that he was to call no man common or unclean. He was not to eat any. Peter never did have a midnight snack during that vision of Peter, but he was taught that he was to call no man common or unclean. And that says that right there in Acts. Here we go. Acts chapter 10, 28. He showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And could we pervert or change that to say, he showed me that I should not call any man or beast common or unclean? Well, no, we couldn't. That would be changing Yahweh's word. We can't do that. Let me write down there. Acts 10:28. That's really good, isn't it? So that proves what the whole chapter was about, was that Peter, a Jew, could fellowship with a Gentile, not only a Jewish or Israeli type person who had fallen away and was called a Gentile, but you know, pure pagan, former pagan. You know, a Greek or someone like that who had come to Messiah and had given his or her heart to Messiah and now had become saved by the shed blood of our Messiah, that there was light in that person because they kept Yahweh's law. Romans 8:7, yes, that we're subject to the Torah. Yes, we are. And Isaiah 8:19, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this Torah, this word, there is no light in them. Please read the King James on that. Most of the other versions from the modern Alexandria corrupt scripts will change that, and it doesn't make any sense even. Jehovah's Witness, New World Translation is from the Alexandrian scripts, the Roman Catholic scripts, and that's where they got their Bible. And so let's read the original. That's from Antioch. Also, in the future, the prophecy shows us in Isaiah 65, verse 4, to eat things that are clean, not to go to the abominable, because if we look here in Isaiah 65, most folks who have been studying about the law, they should know this, there's a past, present, and future. The consistency of our Almighty Yahweh, the testimony is that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that, and they know that in the future, in this prophetic book of Isaiah 65, and also in 66, if it says that the animals were still abominable, and also in the book of the Revelation, it says that every unclean beast, and I don't know the exact, or maybe I do, I don't have it on the tip of my brain right now. Let's see. Verse 4, Isaiah 65, 4, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. Now that's pork, hot dogs and so on. And the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. So it's still abominable in the future. Now I read this to a bunch of evangelical Baptists at their radio station and I worked at in Winston, Oregon, and they just, they just wouldn't receive it. Stephen Yah is reading, out of context, or he's adding his own interpretation. No, I read it verbatim. I read it in context. In context means that it agrees with all the scriptures on that particular thing. It agrees with all the other scriptures on that particular doctrine or that particular teaching. 22, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that, so we talked about new heavens, new earth, so that's future. That's future, but the common Protestant tells us Sabbath was done away with. And it shall come to pass, in verse 23, come to pass that from one new moon to another. Now, what do you mean? Go into a Protestant church, there's, what do you mean, new moons? There's no new moon. From one new moon to another, though, he says, and from one Sabbath to another, does that mean from Sunday to Sunday? No. From one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. I'd like to read, and, the very last words of the part one of the scriptures, which would be, at least in the King James scriptures, and it would be the book of Malachi. But the very last words, remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, in Israel, the statutes and judgments. Yes, the feast days. And then, of course, if you turn the page to part two, commonly called the New Testament, Matthew, then it's as if we could read, forget the law of Moses, the statutes and the judgments. It's as if, the way it's misinterpreted these days. But, of course, we know that nowhere in the Word does it say to ignore Yahweh's statutes and judgments, his feast days. If we were to do that, then we would have to also, please give me a minute or two. I'm sorry that the MP3 file is going to run a little longer, but I have this really neat thing that I once wrote here, and it's not that I'm so great or anything, but you could say, well, Yahweh gave it to me. Here are some of the things that if we don't keep the statutes and judgments, then it would be permissible, because there's nowhere, filter is coming off the mic, just a second here. If only the Ten Commandments are the present law, then there is no way to forbid us to have sex with animals, to marry our sisters and brothers, or view anyone else other than our spouse in the nude. There'd be nothing wrong with reading a Playboy magazine, looking at the pictures, which before we were saved, most of us probably did that. Playboy, Playgirl, keep your eyes and hands off of that kind of stuff. Please, it's wrong. there would be no tithe. And the scriptures that are addressed to a stranger or a man would be void and not be valid or make any sense. It would be all right to be a lesbian or homosexual. We could ignore Deuteronomy 22 entirely, and especially about her being a maid or a virgin. And don't bother with restitution, Exodus 21:18. We could commit fornication as long as we did not lust. But of course, these aren't moral laws. You know, we could also drink blood and soup, blood soup that is in some countries a delicacy. We could do drugs. We could ignore the feast. We wouldn't have to go there and sleep and hear the messages and then sleep some more. We could wear any kind of clothing, Leviticus 18. And if the Ten Commandments were negated, because most assemblies say that they are, then we may get into a real good fist fight. We could abort a child. Am I a legalist if I try to keep our country's laws? And if you don't know what the laws are, then you go to jail if you break them. In the New Testament, where does it say, in the part two, in the New Testament, where does it say it must be repeated here from part one in order to be true? Nowhere. It doesn't say that anywhere. Now read from Matthew 4:4 says, man must live by every word of Yahweh, not by bread alone, but by every word. So we must also live not only by the so-called part two New Testament, but we must live by Genesis through Revelation. Psalm 19 is consistent with that. Exodus 20:25, Jeremiah 7:22 tells us about that I will give an added law, and it was not the Ten Commandments, it was sacrifices and burnt offerings. And Exodus 31:17. And 31:17, then we'll close. If I can get there quickly enough, folks, because I cannot hold you up any longer. 31:17 says, wherefore the children of the northern tribes, commonly called Israel, shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Yahweh said, it is a sign. This is Exodus 31:17. It is a sign between me and the children of the northern tribes forever. Actually, the northern and southern tribes forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Also, it says that Hebrews 4 in part 2, in the New Testament, so-called. Hebrews 4, there therefore remaineth a keeping of the Sabbath, there therefore remaineth a Sabbath unto the seventh day unto the people of Yahweh. So it's still there, it's still to be kept. The two tables of testimony, the tables of stone, written with the finger of Yahweh. And those weren't that was not the administration of death, that was the added law. Jeremiah 7:22, the added law. No, it wasn't. It was Yahweh's one eternal law that he has given even before Moses, before Abraham. You know, that back in Cain and Abel's time, it was still murder for Cain to kill Abel. And so, praise Yahweh. These blessings can last forever. If you keep his word, if you're a commandment keeper, you will be blessed. And that's scriptural. And the blessings will last forever. A practice of disobedience yields curses. Deuteronomy 28. And we do not say we accept Yahweh, we submit to Yahweh. We want to be saved by his unmerited favor. For Ephesians 2:8 says, for by favor we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by favor we are saved. Actually, it says by faith. That's why I'm taking another moment here to turn it real quickly. And we went over time. For by favor are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing Yahweh's words, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Yahweh Hosha unto good works. We're created unto the good works for doing them, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should ignore them. No, that we should walk in them. Also see Philippians 2:13 and Isaiah 26:12. We want to thank Yahweh for giving us this time today, these 36 minutes. We have to walk in the Spirit by Yahweh, but it says also in Ezekiel 36:26 to keep His law, His commandments, and that they're not grievous. It's not a bad thing at all. It's a wonderful thing to keep Yahweh's law. So praise you, Yahweh Hosha, today, Almighty Yahweh. Maranatha, you are coming soon. Oh, Heavenly Savior, how we love you. We'll love to stand around in the throne room and praise you 24/7.